Hello, everybody. Alex Freeman here again. You are listening to the Power Hour, and I am guest hosting for Daniel Brigman. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as I promised you in the last hour, we have a very special guest with us today. He's a very good personal friend, in my opinion, a true American hero. His name is Frank De Varona. And he comes from my hometown of well, technically he comes from Cuba, like most of the people from my hometown of Miami. But he is a true American patriot now. And Frank is so many things. You know, to go through his whole biography would take up the whole hour. So I'll just give you a very, very brief summary. But he's a historian. He is the author of 27 books now. And I just found out during the break before we came on, his latest book has officially been censored by Amazon. So now he's part of that elite club who speaks so much truth that the tech totalitarians in on the left coast will not allow him to speak. Frank is also a journalist. He's an expert on Hispanic contributions. He's got degrees in political science and economics and social studies. He's got certificates in Latin American studies and educational administration. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. He also, he lost his original country. He was born in Cuba. And he did try, he is one of those brave patriots who did try to liberate Cuba. So he actually fought in the Bay of Pigs invasion. So did some of his family, his brother, his cousin. And he was betrayed. And Frank and I, some years ago, wrote an incredible article, U.S. Globalists Put Castro in Power and Kept Him There. So that's where I want to start. But first, Frank, thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you, Alex, for that wonderful introduction. I admire you a lot, so I'm delighted to be here on this program.
Well, thank you very much, Frank. I admire you, and you really are, I think, an American hero. It's, I mean, what you've done for this country in your time on this earth, it puts average Americans to shame, or it should. So I want to start off talking, Frank, about what happened with Cuba. I talked about that a little bit before we brought you on. But, you and I wrote this very comprehensive article. People can find it if you go to DuckDuckGo, if you go to thenewamerican.com. The headline is U.S. Globalists Put Castro in Power and Kept Him There. But, Frank, give us a little bit of background on what happened with Cuba, the communist takeover of Cuba, how deep state Council on Foreign Relations types helped bring that about, and then what happened with the Bay of Pigs invasion. Take it away.
Sure, Alex. The one responsible for the communism coming into Cuba was the Eisenhower administration. Castro came to power January 1st, 1959. And it's very sad because three U.S. ambassadors that serve in Cuba would send cable after cable to the State Department saying, do not allow Castro to come to power. He's a communist. The 26th of July movement is infiltrated by communists. He will be an enemy of the United States if he ever comes to power in Cuba. The ambassadors were, there were several. One that served in Cuba a long time ago in the 1940s when Batista was president then, Spurl Brading, that was his name, and then the more recent ambassadors were Arthur Gardner from 1952 to 1957, and then Earl T. Smith, who served from 1957 to 1959. And those three ambassadors, cable after cable, don't let them come to power. Also, the U.S. ambassador in Mexico, he also sent messages. But unfortunately, the Eisenhower State Department had two communists. The name was William Weiland, and in Cuba he was called Guillermo Arturo Montenegro, who had a homosexual relationship with one of the number two person in the State Department at the time. But anyway, and he was in charge of what was then called the Caribbean desk. So he was responsible for Mexico and the Caribbean nations, including Cuba. And his boss, Roy Robotham, Assistant Secretary for Inter-American Affairs, he too was a communist, and both of them wanted Castro to come to power. And sadly, once Castro was in power, Earl T. Smith and Arthur Gardner testified to the Senate Intelligence Committee, and they were asked, well, what happened? How did Castro come to power? By that time, it was 1960, and they said it was the press. and the State Department who allowed Castro to come to power. And then Ernie Smith said the CIA station chief in my embassy in Havana was working to help Castro come to power. So that's what happened in Cuba. And then, of course, after that, as we explained in this article that you just mentioned, the Kennedy administration began to do regime change in Cuba, were very badly implemented. And then, of course, they had Alan Dulles, who was one of the, and together with John Foster Dulles, both of them were very involved in the founding of the Council of Foreign Relations. They were globalists of the New World Order, as was practically the entire Kennedy administration, beginning with Secretary of State Dean Rusk, who for 10 years headed the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bondi brothers, one of them was head of the National Security Council of the White House, Arthur Fletcher Jr., the entire Kennedy administration had people that were globalists. And, of course, the State Department, they've always been full of globalists. But the planning, actually, as we indicated in this article, was brilliant. It did have a good chance of getting rid of Castro, even though there were only about 1,450 of us, and we had to fight against 200,000 militia and army in Cuba. But the plan was devised by a colonel who did the Incheon landing in Korea, was very knowledgeable, together with the Joint Chief of Staff, that they actually approved the entire plan. We were to invade through the city of Trinidad, which is at the foot of the Skangrain Mountains, and there were many hundreds or maybe thousands of rebels, anti-communist rebels, already fighting there, and we were supplying them by air with the Brigade 2506 Air Force. The Trinidad had about 27,000 people, most of them anti-Castro. They were actually helping the guerrillas in the mountains fighting communism. And it had docks, it had infrastructure, it had hospitals, only two roads led from Havana, and it had an airport for our Brigade Air Force, which was made up of 16 B-26s. That's a World War II bomber. So the plan was excellent. The idea was, of course, we couldn't invade Cuba with such a small force, but to bring a government in Miami in exile to come with a defendable beachhead in Trinidad, and then that government could have asked for help to the United States and other Latin American countries. That was the idea. And also, they had planned 5 airstrikes before actually we landed on April 17, 1961. And the first airstrike of 16 B-26s was reduced by President Kennedy to only 8 planes. So that attack was successful, but it allowed Castro to keep 7 planes, among them T-33 jets, C-Furies, and B-26s. And then after that, they canceled all of the strikes. And they also told the CIA, they gave them 2 days, 3 days, we don't want the landing in Trinidad, find another place. And they found a very horrible place, the Bay of Pigs. There were no docks there. There was no way that we could unload all the weapons that we were carrying in our 5 obsolete Liberty ships from World War II with one crane. It was impossible to unload all that. And the Kennedy administration committed criminal negligence, dereliction of duty, and high treason, not only to us, but to the Americans. Because imagine if we had gotten rid of Castro in 1961, all the damage that Castro has done to the United States, to Latin America, to Africa and Asia, and the world. So that was unfortunate that that happened. As we say here, it was a defeat for freedom and a victory for totalitarianism. And it didn't have to happen because we could have won. Because there were rebels, there were also 45,000 people in the underground in Cuba, including some of my relatives from Camagüey that were active in the underground. And we definitely could have defeated Castro at the time. And it was a wasted, a terrible thing that it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, it's an absolute atrocity. And personally, I think some of the Americans involved in this should have been brought up on charges. I mean, it's such a terrible betrayal, not only of the Cuban people and of the brave men who went over there to fight in the Bay of Pigs invasion, but also a betrayal of the American people and a betrayal of our Constitution and a betrayal of our, of everything that is good. It's just an absolute atrocity. So folks, if you're interested in this subject, and I hope that you are, go read this article that Frank and I wrote. Frank is also, in addition to all the things that I mentioned, he is the communications director for the Bay of Pigs Veterans Association, and he's met President Trump a couple times, and in his capacity as one of the leaders of the Bay of Pigs Veterans Association, he was actually just up in Washington, D.C., in the Oval Office with President Trump very recently. I think it was just a few weeks ago. So, Frank, you have experience in so many different areas, and you know, I want to get to the subject of the election, because I think there are some very obvious parallels between the revolution that happened in Cuba and the communist revolutions that have enslaved other nations and peoples, especially including the involvement of the Council on Foreign Relations, right? These subversives and traitors, and what's happening in America right now. In both cases, we have criminals who are running around trying to overthrow the government. We have support from very, very powerful individuals. So talk a little bit about the latest revelations about Joe Biden and these emails that the big tech companies and the media are trying so hard to cover up, and also the parallels, if you would, between the ongoing revolution that is taking place in America right now and the revolutions that enslaved your home country, your original country of Cuba, and other nations around the world.
Actually, it's very similar, because Fidel Castro always denied that he was a communist, and he got help from Herbert Matthews from the New York Times that had an interview with him in the Sierra Maestras Mountain. He compared him to George Washington, to Simón Bolívar, a great hero. Well, that is the same thing that's happening right now in the United States, pretending that Joe Biden is a moderate. Actually, he's not a moderate. He has a lot of Marxist links, and Kamala Harris, the same thing. But the worst thing about Joe Biden is that he's corrupted to the core. His entire family is a criminal enterprise, as bad as Hillary and Bill Clinton with the Clinton Foundation. That, too, was a criminal enterprise worldwide. We are now too late for perhaps a lot of people, only 12 days away from the election. More than 40 million people have already voted. And now all of these things is surfacing at the last moment. The FBI, I think, had the dereliction of duty. They had this computer that was dropped by Hunter Biden. They had the signature when he dropped it. It's a computer from hell, as the president has mentioned it. It has 40,000 emails. It had a lot of text messages. And on top of that, another partner in crime who is in prison turn in more emails to Peter Schweizer, who is the author of Secret Empires. And now we even have another thing that just came up today. Tony Bubolinski, who was actually the CEO of the company, he has confirmed they had this email. And I know you don't not looking at me, but perhaps I don't know if I can be seen by others here who are in Skype. But anyway, there was this email where they talked about how they wanted to split all these millions of dollars from a Chinese energy company that had ties to the military and to Chinese intelligence, and then mentioned that 20% was going to go for H, that is Hunter Biden, 20% was going to go to RW, that's Rob Walker, 20% to James Gilliard, 20% to Tony Bublinski, the one that actually wrote like 700-page document and turned it into today, or yesterday maybe, but it was published today by the New York Post. Another great scandal is how big tech have exercised censorship, and they have not allowed this information to go forward. Not only that, but it was Facebook, it was Twitter, and even today, the Twitter account is still closed by the fourth largest newspaper in America, the New York Post, founded by Alexander Hamilton. It is the oldest newspaper in the United States who is being censored by big tech. All of big tech is diabolical. They want to put Biden in power. They are New World Order types, and they are really going to destroy a republic if we don't win this election. But anyway, the email identified 10% of all this money going to a gym. The gym is James Biden, the vice president's brother, and 10% to be held by H, meaning Hunter Biden, for the big guy. We now know that the big guy is Joe Biden. So how can we elect a president President Joe Biden, a person that has been taking millions of dollars, millions, not only from China, but from Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and even Romania. This is one of the biggest scandals that we have. And unfortunately, the FBI, headed by Christopher Wray, has had this information since December. Since December, almost a year. And what have they done? Nothing. The Senate Homeland Security has repeatedly requested the FBI to turn in all they know about this email. And by the way, this email shows Hunter Biden smoking a crack cocaine, naked, having sex with a woman, and having underage girls with him as he's doing crack cocaine. Under girls. So that's a pedophilia crime involving Hunter Biden as well, because the 40,000 emails had text messages and many videos. And they're pornographic videos where all these things are going on. But anyway, this is a tremendous scandal. And unfortunately, most of the Americans that have already voted, and even the ones that are going to vote in the near future, are not provided this information because our socialist mainstream press has censored this information, and so have big tech. So it's a very sad that people are voting and they don't know how corrupt, not only that he's half demented, but how corrupt Joe Biden is. Corrupt to the core. Totally corrupt. How can we dare somebody like that run for president?
Yeah, it really is incredible, Frank. It really does seem like the ruling class in America now has essentially just become a criminal syndicate, and the Bidens and the Clintons and the Obamas are just perfect examples of this. And you were actually writing books about some of the crimes of the Obama administration during the Obama administration. You exposed a lot of what was going on with their support for Islamic terrorists in various nations, and the Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's unbelievable. And yet Amazon lets you publish those books and sell them through Amazon. But your most recent book is banned on Amazon, Frank. So let's hear about your new book. The fact that it's banned by Amazon tells me it's incredibly important. It's called Socialism or Freedom in the 2020 Election. We're coming up on the 2020 election now, Frank. So tell us a little bit about your book. Tell us how people can get it, if they can get it, and what are the important revelations? Why did Amazon decide that the delicate American people should not be allowed to read this book?
Yeah, well, this book is 315 pages long and has 20 chapters. But in one of the chapters, a very lengthy chapter, I talk about Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Of course, Black Lives Matter, as you well know, and probably everybody that's listening also knows as well, it is an anarchist communist organization that wants to eliminate all police departments in the nation and all prisons. But more importantly, they want to turn the United States into a communist nation. And they have 40 chapters here in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, and Germany. It was founded by three trained Marxists. They say that they're Marxists. They don't deny it. But the scary part is how the Marxist Democratic Party, that Black Lives Matter has become an armed militia of the Marxist Democratic Party, who also happens to be pro-Islamic radical, pro-infanticide, pro-China communist, anti-Israel, and a great danger to our national security. God forbid that they win in this election. They're also planning massive cheating. The 20 chapter in this book, I talk about the plans that have been also denounced by President Trump, how they are printing millions of ballots, unsolicited ballots, sending them all over the United States, particularly in California, 22 million ballots, unsolicited, using driver's license, where there are a lot of illegal aliens have licenses in California. But the border roads in California have never been cleaned, so they're going to send all these 22 million ballots to people that have moved away, people that have died, and they're going to be picked up by Democratic operatives who are on salary and they allow ballot harvesting in California and in other Democratic-run states. So one person can collect these ballots because nobody lives in that apartment. People have died, they move away, and they one person can turn in 10,000, 15,000 ballots, and they accept it. And how in the world are you going to count 22 million ballots? It'll take you months to do that. So that is why the Democrats are planning like a coup against President Trump in this election. On November the 3rd, the president is going to win the election. I have no doubt in my mind it's going to be the winner. But they're going to say, wait a moment, we'll have to count all these millions of ballots here in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania now, you can receive that ballot 3 days after November the 3rd. And then supposedly it will be a ballot that will be able to be counted. So we are facing what I think is a coup. And thanks God you published that article in your great website, Liberty Sentinel. We are facing a potential coup with increased violence. Since May 25th, we have had a communist insurrection in about 200 U.S. cities, including here in Miami. We had problems here as well. And this has been going on, aided and abetted by the Democratic Party. Most of the cities where the greatest violence are Democratic-run cities, Democratic-run states. But it's very scary what I'm seeing here because the parallels with Cuba are very evident to me. You and I were interviewed recently by a documentary. I wish everybody would see it. And that documentary talks about this book that was written in 1958 by Skousen. And he talks about 45 steps or goals that have to be taken before a nation turns into a communist nation. Sadly, those 45.
That's right, and we're almost there, huh, Frank? We've got a break coming up right now. Folks, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Newman, guest hosting the Power Hour for Daniel Brigman. We will be right back after these messages with more from Frank de Barona. Stay tuned, and we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Power Hour. I am Alex Newman. I'm filling in for my friend Daniel Brigman. And in the last half an hour, we have Frank De Varona with us to continue talking. I mean, this guy is like a walking, talking encyclopedia. And yet, unlike most of us in this movement, you know, maybe we know a lot of facts. Maybe we, we've studied a lot. We know what's going on. Frank has also walked the walk. When he was 17, he invaded Cuba as part of the Bay of Pigs invasion in an effort to liberate his nation from the mass murdering savages who had enslaved that great nation with help from the deep state in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations, the State Department, the New York slimes, especially Herbert Matthews, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and of course Eisenhower. The Eisenhower administration. If you don't know a lot about the Eisenhower administration, I'd recommend a book to you very strongly. It's called The Politician, written by Robert Welch. It started off as a letter, and it is, in my view, by far the best expose of Eisenhower. It was written, like I said, by Robert Welch, and it just looked at all the pro-communist actions that Eisenhower took. You know, handing Cuba over to the communists was just one among many. He was also responsible for Operation Keel Haul, where he used the U.S. Armed Services to round up millions of Soviet refugees, many of whom had fought with us side by side in World War II. He used the U.S. Armed Services to round up these poor people and ship them back to their deaths after brutal torture at the hands of the mass murdering butcher Joseph Stalin. Some of these people actually killed themselves rather than be herded onto boxcars to go die in a Siberian gulag at the hands of the monster Joseph Stalin. So much to talk about. Frank, thank you once again for being with us. And before we went to break, you were talking about your new book, Socialism or Freedom in the 2020 election. And unlike your other 26 books, Amazon won't let you sell this one through Amazon. Tell us why you think that is.
Well, I have a lengthy chapter about all the multinational corporations, U.S. multinational corporations, that have given millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter, which is a great scandal. But Amazon gave $10 million to Black Lives Matter and other related groups. And in addition to that, I have a very lengthy chapter of which you published a reduced version of that in your website, where I list all of these corporations that are giving so much money to Black Lives Matter, which is a great scandal. They must be all globalists and want to enslave us, of course, through a one world government through the United Nations, both controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, Skull and Bones, etc. But yes, that is the reason why they refuse to publish my book. And I also have a very lengthy chapter that I talk about how big tech is interfering in the elections and discriminating conservatives. I think that killed the book for that very reason. But I don't mind. I did publish the book anyway, and I'm selling it. You know, people that ask for the book write emails to me or some other way, and somebody's reading that book. But you have published already like 4 or 5 chapters of that book, and I will continue sending you more chapters of that book. So at least through that way, maybe more people can read the book. But yes, it's a terrible scandal. Now, you mentioned Eisenhower and Cuba. I want to say this. On March 14, 1958, the Eisenhower administration declared an arms embargo in Cuba, and Batista had purchased the rest of the money he had for weapons because he was fighting, of course, a communist insurrection. It was getting out of hand in Cuba in March. So Eisenhower had to know, being a 5-star general, that when you don't sell guns, in fact, they confiscated the money. It happened the same as you well know with Mao Zedong in China when the Truman administration betrayed Chiang Kai-shek, our great ally from World War II, and declared an arms embargo. And that allowed Mao Zedong to come to power. The same thing happened in Nicaragua with President Carter when Somoza had purchased guns from Israel, and President Carter told Israel, get those chips back to Israel. Do not deliver those bands, those weapons to Somoza, who was fighting the Sandinista communists, and that's how communism came to Nicaragua. That is a very old tactic, to do not help U.S. allies who are fighting communist revolution. Eisenhower did that as well in Cuba. But anyway, we can move on to other topics because time is running fast. You wanted to talk about the Pope. I have also a section in my book, Cuba, the Bay of Pigs, Kennedy assassination, and the Vatican. I study in great detail what was going on in the Vatican. I am a practicing Catholic. My grandmother was related to Cardinal Arteaga, who was an anti-communist cardinal, the first one appointed in Cuba. I have 2 cousins. One is a priest, another one is a nun. So I do believe in the Catholic faith, but I reject the corrupt Vatican, as many Catholics are doing. Many bishops in the United States are also writing. I have a whole list of them who are saying, do not vote for Biden. He's a fake Catholic. How can you be a Catholic and be in favor of infanticide? And how can you be in favor of an 8-year-old having a sex operation? He just said that. I'm in favor of that, too. So, and of course, in favor of abortion, gay marriage, etc. So, yeah, lots of good Catholic bishops are fighting the Vatican, and cardinals as well. They realize we have the devil in the Vatican, and that is Pope Francis. Mario Bergoglio, cardinal from Argentina, who became Pope, an Argentine Pope.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Frank. And there's so much to discuss here. You know, wrapping up with Amazon, I have another friend whose book was also just banned from Amazon. That is James Perloff. He's probably very well known to the listeners of this show. And he wrote a book called COVID and the Agendas to Come, Red Pilled. And this sold 3,500 copies on Amazon. They were flying off the shelves like lightning. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, the totalitarians at Amazon decided that, sorry, no, you can't have that book there. So they deplatformed him. They also recently deplatformed another book that dealt with the issue of homosexuality. And actually, it was a scientific look at homosexuality. And what it found was that, no, sorry, there's actually no gay gene, as the homosexual movement wants us to believe. And that brings me right back to the Pope, Frank. Pope Bergoglio, and I was raised Catholic in Latin America, so I have quite a bit of experience with Catholicism. My family is Catholic, from Italy and from Germany. I have Catholic ancestors. And the Catholic Church in Latin America seems to have been more infected than the Catholic Church in other places with this Soviet deception known as liberation theology that holds that basically the gospel is not the gospel. What we really need to do is divide society into classes and have class warfare, and Jesus was really a communist and all the rest of this garbage. And now we have Bergoglio coming out and saying, and this was the big headline today, the LGBT activists are just as pleased as they can be, saying that we should have civil unions for homosexuals, and that homosexuals should be allowed to have families. He actually talked about these two homosexual men who were raising a child. And my understanding of Catholic teaching is that this is a total contradiction of what the Catholic Church has always taught. In fact, the previous pope put out a document explaining that even civil unions are completely illegitimate because they try to create kind of a legal equivalence between marriage. And, for non-Christians and for non-Catholics, I think it's important to mention this. The institution of marriage is an absolutely precious gift that God has given to people, and it has a significance that goes way beyond just this blessed union between a man and a woman that produces children and is blessed by God. It's also, as the Bible reveals, a representation of the relationship between Christ and the church. So there's this incredible significance to marriage. And the Catholic Church has always taught that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. And yes, the Catholic Church teaches that homosexuals should be loved and respected. Of course, that's standard Christianity. And yet now you have Bergoglio coming out in this new documentary, just completely blowing up thousands of years of Catholic teaching, totally contradicting what's written in the Bible. What is going on here, Frank? As somebody who, as you mentioned, you've been a faithful practicing Catholic all your life. You come from a Catholic family. You've got a very prominent Catholic relatives. How in the world do we make sense of what is happening right now in the Vatican?
Well, what he just said now is a heresy, because the Catholic Church, although we have to love people that are homosexual, we don't have to condone what they're doing. It is a sin for two men or two women to have sex, according to the Catholic religion. And Jorge Mario Bergoglio, of course, is now changing all of that. We have to remember that in 1959, in the Lublanka building, the KGB building of Moscow, Khrushchev founded the Theology of Liberation of the Catholic Church, because at that time, 90% of Latin America were Catholics. Not now, but it was then. And they felt that by infiltrating into the Catholic Church and putting communists in the Catholic Church, that would be a way of bringing communism to all of Latin America. But the worst thing that has happened, in my opinion, and I covered that in about 100 pages in this book on the Vatican, was that there was a coup d'etat to get rid of the conservative German Pope, Benedict XVI. That coup d'etat was planned by Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, George Soros, and traitors, bishops and cardinals in Europe. In fact, the bishops and cardinals in Europe called themselves the Mafia of St. Gallen, because they used to meet in the small village of St. Gallen next to Zurich in Switzerland to plan the overthrow of a pope with the help of Barack Obama. Barack Obama then exercised financial pressure to bankrupt the Vatican, and that forced Benedict XVI to quit. He had to say it was due to health reasons, but he's alive today. He's very upset at the current pope, all the things he's seen that's going on. But there was a coup d'etat in the Vatican that was denounced by WikiLeaks in a bunch of emails. And five main leaders in the United States, Catholic leaders, like the Association of Catholic Lawyers and lots of Catholic magazine leaders of the church, they wrote a letter to Donald Trump saying, denounce this coup of the Vatican that was done here. And it's a horrible thing to do a coup d'etat against a sitting pope. Now, Bergoglio, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, that's the name of the Argentine Pope, he has named now many cardinals in the College of Cardinals that are as communist as he is. So when he dies and goes to hell, the Vatican will continue to be controlled by communists. But we have to remember, as Catholics, we, the parishioners, are the church, not the corrupt Vatican. I have a lot of good Cuban-American priests that are well aware of what's happening. They cannot talk about it because the Catholic Church is like a like an army. You cannot criticize the five-star general. But they're very aware of what's going on. They're really worried about what's going on. And I am denouncing all the time this pope because he's betraying my church. And it's very interesting that a previous pope said before he died, the smoke of Satan has penetrated the temple of God from some hole. Temple of God, he talks about the Vatican. That was a pope, but it's a saint of the Catholic Church because he made two miracles. And he knew what was going on back then because this infiltration, like in the United States, you know, we've been infiltrated by communists for many, many years. As this great book, The Naked Communist, brings about these 45 steps. And even with Trump being president, it's very scary to see how we're now teaching communism in the public schools. The Black Lives Matter communist curriculum, pre-K to 12, is being taught in many school districts, even with Donald Trump being president right now. Imagine if he loses the election. But the unions now are all communists, including the two teachers union, the American Federation of Teachers, the National Education Association, are also pushing the Black Lives Matter communist curriculum. They're also pushing the 1619 project by the New York Times, which is also a communist curriculum. So we now have communism being taught in schools. We're teaching pornographic sex education. In California, they've been doing it for so many years that the University of California in Berkeley, and that was reported in the New American magazine, did a study, and they found out that 24% all the students in the public schools of California are not happy with their own gender. That's 24%. So we're teaching communism in California, so we're graduating students that are Marxists and are confused about their own sex. That is the way that communists take over in America, by, you know, destroying the youth, turning the youth into communists. And it's very scary, and everybody should see that documentary. Alex, you may want to mention it or share it later so people go to YouTube and see it, because it's only 32 minutes long. You are featured there. I'm featured there. Trevor Loudon, the great anti-communist, written many books on communism. And then also we have close to 90, 95 communists in Congress. The press has turned socialist. So we got the unions, the press, the universities, now the public schools. It's really, we need to, and even when we re-elect Donald Trump, and I hope he doesn't get overthrown by a coup d'etat, and he is our president, the communists are not going to disappear. They're going to continue being here. We're going to be very strong, perhaps ban the Communist Party. He may have to throw the army if we cannot control the communist insurrection. He needs to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1808 and send the army to bring peace to the streets of cities of the United States. So all of these things are going to be important in a second Trump administration, besides recovering the economy and doing all the good things he's done in the first term. We need to fight communism because we are so infiltrated in America that it's really scary.
Yeah, it really is, Frank. And you mentioned the documentary. I hope people will go check that out. YouTube has made it almost impossible to find it through their system. But if you go to my website, libertysentinel.org, that's libertysentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org, you'll find, you scroll down just a little bit, you'll find my article about the documentary. It's called America in Peril, New Film Exposes Socialist Threat. You'll also find all those articles that Frank mentioned that were published in his book that have been appearing on my site as articles. You'll also find an exclusive that I just published yesterday about the head of the UN Office of Human Rights, Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights. Her name is Michelle Bachelet. She is also a communist, a huge fan of Fidel Castro and Raul Castro. She's an intimate part of the Foro de Sao Paulo, the totalitarian network in Latin America founded by Castro, founded by the Sandinistas, founded by the FARC, the communist terrorists working in Colombia, and also by the former corrupt president of Brazil, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Their objective always has been to enslave all of Latin America under communism. They steal money from their taxpayers. They use Venezuela's oil money to finance these candidates. That is how Michelle Bachelet became the socialist president of Chile. So you'll find all that at libertysentinel.org. Frank, we've only got probably about 5 minutes left, and in those 5 minutes, I want to just give the floor to you. You talked about education. You know, you have a very long and incredibly successful career in education. In fact, you served in a very high position in the Miami-Dade County public school system. So obviously education is a big part of the problem, and any solution to our problems is going to involve education. But in the last 5 minutes we have, Frank, what can people who are listening to this do to try to turn back the tide, to preserve liberty, so that we don't end up like Cuba, so that we don't have to invade America again as part of some new Bay of Pigs to try to liberate our homeland? What can we do to protect? And, you know, one of the stories that always stuck with me from Cuba, the head of Castro's Air Force, Mr. Diaz-Lanz, he actually helped Castro to enslave Cuba, and then he defected not too long after Castro succeeded. He realized, oh, this guy's a monster. He wants to enslave this country. I can't be part of this. So he actually took one of the Air Force planes, flew it over to Miami, defected, right away joined the John Birch Society, and he said if there had been a single chapter of the John Birch Society in Havana, Havana would not have fallen to the communists, and Cuba would still be a free nation today. You know, you have been involved in politics, you've been involved in education, you've been involved in the freedom movement for, you know, decades longer than I've been alive. In your expert opinion, Frank, what should Americans be doing if they want to preserve our freedom, if they want to preserve our constitutional republic for future generations?
Well, first thing is to vote for Donald Trump, obviously. I have to commend the website that you have, Liberty Sentinel. It's one of the best websites that I've seen. You have published 7 of my articles there. And also you mentioned the Young Birch Society. The magazine of the Young Birch Society, The New American, is the best magazine in the United States for 61 years. They've been denouncing communism and globalism and all the dangers that we're facing. If you do not belong to the Young Birch Society, you should consider joining it because it's so important for you to be well informed. But to parents who have kids in the public schools, you need to monitor what's going on in the public schools, who is teaching your children, what is the curriculum they're using, what textbooks are they using, because not only do we have problems with communist textbooks being used and being taught by communist teachers, and the curriculum that I mentioned, Black Lives Matter, 1619 Project, New York Times, but also you have to monitor what goes on. And now that we have learning at home and so forth on using the computer, you need to see what they're teaching your kids there. And if your public school teacher and the public school system where your kids attend, you need to pull out your kids from the public schools. It's very hard for me to say that because I worked so long for the public school system in Miami. But if the public schools are teaching communism, you don't want your kid in that public school system. So you either put him in a private school, and then you monitor the private school to make sure that they're also teaching an unbiased curriculum. And some people pull the kids completely, and they're teaching them at home, which is a great way to do that if you can do it, if you have a wife. Like Alex has a fantastic wife that's teaching their kids, and he himself teaches his kids as well at home. That's a way that we're going to save our kids from being indoctrinated, as they are now being indoctrinated throughout the United States. So that's very important. If we lose the youth, we lose the nation. That's the first thing communists want to do, is to turn kids into Marxists. And that's how the nations become communists, once the youth is totally indoctrinated. And then that's a very important thing to do. And at the universities are very corrupt. I taught at FIU in Miami, Florida International University for 7.5 years, after working 36 years all the way to deputy superintendent of schools in the Miami, the County Public Schools. And there we had two founders of FIU, Carlos Alvarez and his wife, Elcita Alvarez, who founded FIU, and they were arrested by the FBI because they were spies from Cuba working with the intelligence service of Cuba. And that man founded FIU and would take kids from FIU to Cuba. And there he met with his bosses, you know, in state security in Cuba. So all of our universities are completely infiltrated now by extreme leftists, by Marxists. So we have to be very careful when you send your kids to university to make sure they understand what communism is. And unfortunately, we in Florida used to teach a course that I taught it many years ago when I was a government teacher in a senior high school in Miami. And that course was Americanism versus Communism. And unfortunately, that course was eliminated. So we're graduating students now in Florida that have no idea what communism is all about. We need to restore that book in the schools. The president now has a curriculum that he wants to teach so that we respect the founding fathers and we will stop teaching that the United States is the most evil nation in the world, that we systematically discriminate African Americans in all the institutions. That is what Kamala Harris is saying. That is what Obama said yesterday in Philadelphia, that all these riots are right because we're such a racist nation. And we have systematically discriminated blacks in education, in the economy, in the health system, in every institution. That is an absolute lie. The United States.
Very good. Frank, thank you so much for being with us. It's such an honor to have you, Frank De Varona. Folks, you are listening to The Power Hour with Alex Newman. I'm guest hosting for Daniel Brigman. I will be back again next week guest hosting this phenomenal show. That'll be on the 28th of October. That's a Wednesday. Hopefully I will talk to you then. Folks, take good care. Thank you. God bless you. And keep up fighting the good fight. Take good care.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Rations, when you buy from ThePowerMall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.